Today's reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do come here weekly to give thee praise and glory. Heavenly Father, we have much to be thankful for, as you have mentioned just a few minutes ago. Heavenly Father, we are most thankful for that spotless Lamb of God, the one that gave himself for us so that we may have eternal life, so that sinners may have all their sins forgiven, past and future. We do pray that all our praises and all we sing is acceptable to thee. And we pray all this in his good name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We read in Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. A.W. Tozer said, thanksgiving has great curative powers. And I say, so let's practice thanksgiving for spiritual and physical health. Many will be celebrating Thanksgiving this week, but it is sad to see that so many Thanksgiving activities will be so superficial. For some, it will be a real time of thanksgiving and praise. For others, it will be just a pretext or tradition that has to be kept. In other words, it is superficial thanksgiving. Let us look at some superficial thanksgiving. And I'll touch another one from the Bible a little few minutes later. I believe that many who call themselves Christians, we call ourselves Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. We are called Christians because of Christ. And yet, how often do we lift our eyes to Christ, to God, and say, thank you. Thank you for everything you have given me. How often does a church say, all this belongs to God? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for your church. How often do we Christians put Christ first and thank him for all the blessings? Some of you have thanked me in the past for doing what I do, but to be honest with you, I can never thank myself for doing what I do, because what I do as a teacher, as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, is what God has allowed me to be and helped me to be. Brother Quinton said the Holy Spirit helps us do this. And I believe every one of us filled with the Holy Spirit should lift our eyes to heaven and say, as the psalm writer said once again, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The next prayer is an example of a superficial thanksgiving. There were two men went to the temple to pray. One was a regular worshiper. One was a rich man. One was a religious person. The one that was religious person knew exactly who he was and what he wanted and what God had found in him to be so good. Now the other man was a sinner. And I don't know how you feel this morning. Do you feel like this rich man, the religious person, or like the tax collector? But very often I feel just like the tax collector, the sinner, who am saved by his grace and stand before him because of him and not because of my goodness. Let's look at this Pharisee and his superficial thanksgiving in Luke 18, we just read. The Pharisee, number one, the Pharisee was unaware of his great need. This religious Pharisee was unaware of his spiritual need. He prayed, I thank you that I am not like other men. Wow, he must have felt holy. He said, thank you for not being like all the other men. Thank you for not being like my neighbor that does this and the other. And all kinds of things that he probably thought. His prayer started with thanksgiving. He said, I thank you. But it was the wrong kind of prayer and thanksgiving. Thank you for what? Thank you for choosing me. And I've heard people pray or say, and again, I don't want to get into doctrinal arguments, but I've heard people say, thank you, Lord, for seeing something in me and choosing me and doing this, and because I am. And believe it or not, God is not impressed. As a matter of fact, probably he stops even listening to the prayer. The man was not thanking God for what God had done for him. He was actually thanking God for what he himself, the Pharisee, had done or was. I've heard people say, thank you for choosing me to be a healer. Thank you for choosing me to be a messenger because I have the gift. This man was not any different than many are today. His prayer was not prayer at all. He pretended to be praying. He was actually talking to the people who were listening to him. He was actually talking to this guy over there who thought that God is going to listen to him. A sinner, a tax collector, a crook has come into the temple to pray. I just hope and pray none of us feels that way about someone else. He actually focused on himself and his human efforts. I have given money. I have given so much money. That is why the temple is well kept. I have given my time. That is why some people are happy. And he was actually thanking himself. He was in need of personal salvation through Christ. But that was something that he could not earn by his good works. He could only receive it as a gift. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, but no one can boast." Grace. Grace. The Greek word is charis. Charis is a gift. That's what it means. Charis means grace. Charizo means I'm giving. You don't pay for it. Someone says, "How much?" And the Greek person says, no. "I'm giving it to you." Stocharizo. Which means, really, you probably can't afford it. And that's exactly what it is, what it means to us, that we can't afford. No one was wise enough, clean enough, pure enough, holy enough to be able to pay the price for our salvation. That was his first point, was the Pharisee was unaware of his greatest need, salvation. The second point I'd like to share with you this morning is that the Pharisee was unconcerned about the tax collector. He prayed and said, or even like this tax collector over there, he was comparing himself with a tax collector, and the difference made him proud. He had a lot of pride rather than compassion for the man next to him. When I was mentioning to you this morning about the straight man, or the man that hangs around in the street while I was coming to church, and he loud voice said, "Good morning, Pastor. Happy Thanksgiving." The temptation is to be, say, "Who is he?" I mean, he's embarrassing. But you know what? For a just split second, probably, I thought I would be embarrassed in front of everyone else. But then I was so grateful to God for a man like him would recognize that we have to give thanks to God and honor me with his blessing. He was comparing himself with a tax collector. Very often we do compare ourselves with someone else. I've done that. I've been there and I've experienced this kind of a feeling. I listen to someone who has a very beautiful voice, and he delivers the message so well, and his knowledge cannot be compared with mine at all. And I say, "What?" And then the Holy Spirit says, "Why are you comparing yourself with others? You are who you are." And I believe that God has blessed each one of us with so many different kinds of blessings, gifts, that we don't have enough time to thank him for all these gifts he has given us. True thanksgiving produces thankful living. I believe our lifestyle will reflect our thanksgiving, our dependence on God, our understanding that all we have comes from him. The way we live, it should be a life of thanksgiving. Thankful for life and provisions, share with others. If you are thankful for what you have, and we have more than what we can eat or should eat, very often we look at our food and say, "Well, it's going to go bad. Well, I'll throw it out and get some more." And then I've been to places, and you've heard to so many in the news that people don't have even a piece of bread to eat. And yet we are so self-centered that we don't want to reach out and help others. Thankful for kindnesses received, pass them on to others. Someone does you a favor. The question then is, what can I do for someone else? Thanksgiving is not only receiving and saying thank you, thank you, thank you, but is giving, giving, and giving at the same time. Thankful for friends, extend friendship to others. Thankful for prayers, pray for others. Thankful for your salvation, tell others of Christ. My wife and I have been receiving emails from those that we met in our mission trip to Armenia, and some of the emails really give us such a great joy, because we know that what they are saying is really wonderful. What they're saying is, thank you for introducing me to Christ. Thank you for your tracts. Thank you for your book. Thank you for your visit. And you know what? There's nothing that we have done on our own. Everything came from God. Thankful for salvation. You saved. You have the ticket to heaven, you think. You sometimes, and I may feel like this rich man who felt so secure and safe and so religious and so holy that he went on and on to describe himself and didn't even care what was happening to this tax collector, the sinner. You know, tax collectors were considered equal to prostitutes. As a matter of fact, there are verses in the Bible that says tax collectors and prostitutes were put on the same level. And this man had no place in his life, in his prayer, for the tax collector, for the sinner. And very often we may not say it, but say, oh, thank God I've been saved. Thank God God chose me. Thank God for this. Thank God for that. And yet we forget our next door neighbor, our relatives, our friends, our co-workers who are going to hell without Christ. This was the spirit of the first believers. They shared with one another. They were truly thankful to God. The third point and last point is the Pharisee was unchanged when he returned home. True thanksgiving changes us, should change us. This Pharisee went home to a good place. As a matter of fact, empty, but he had been to a good place. This Pharisee went to a good place, the temple. The temple was where he should have been, and he was. He should have prayed in the temple as he prayed everywhere else, I suppose. And yet, there was something that did not happen. He went for a good purpose to pray. That was a good purpose to pray. But he actually went home unchanged. Millions will leave churches today also unchanged. I hope you don't let this happen to you too. He went to a good place, the temple. He did something good. He prayed. He lifted his eyes to God, and yet he was looking in himself. He went home unchanged completely. His prayer was not heard, because Jesus makes it clear that's what happened. The other person in this parable, the tax collector, is something so different. This man faced his sins and asked for forgiveness. There was nothing superficial about his prayer. The tax collector, beating his breast, he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So just to recap, two men, we're talking about Thanksgiving. Two men went into the temple. The one man was a religious person. He was a well-known person. He was a rich man. He was an educated man. Everyone knew who he was. And when he started praying, I'm sure people stopped and heard his prayer. And yet, his prayer was not heard from God. Because his prayer revolved around himself. who he was, what he had done, what he was not doing, and who he was. And he did not even thank God for who he was. And then we see a tax collector, a sinner, a man who was despised, a man that they would look at and say, well, the filthy crook or whatever they want to call him, they would call him. And as I said a second ago, he was compared with the lowest of the low. And yet he prayed, and his prayer was very short. The only way he could describe himself was a sinner. Someone who had failed God, someone who had failed the society, someone who had failed his family, someone who was not worthy even to be praying to God. And yet he did pray and said, Lord God, have mercy on me. And then that was the short, one of the short telegrams or telegraphs sent in the Bible. And then he signed it, a sinner. This morning you may feel like, I hope you don't feel like the rich man who felt so holy, so good, that he started judging others. But we all feel, and there's no shame to say, that we were all sinners saved by grace. If not for the grace of God, we wouldn't be here today. It's a gift from God to us. The tax collector went home a new man. He went home forgiven, justified. The sinner was justified. And now he could truly be thankful. The life of this sinner, this man who had failed the society or himself, was changed completely. What about us? Are we truly thankful for what God has done for us? Am I thankful for what God has done in my life? You may be a young man going through a difficult period of time. Your parents, your family is falling apart. You can't find a job, or at school you can't deal with the pressures. And you have to the problems of the societal pressures and the magnetic pull of the world, drugs, drinking, or whatever the problems may be around you may entice you, and you don't know where to go. Won't you come like the tax collector to God, not to this particular church? You don't even need to go to a church. You need to go to God and say, look, I've tried everything. God, if you have problems even in believing in God, test him, try him, and see how good he is. Because all he is looking for is a broken heart, broken life. He is willing to mend it. I hope we're not leaving the building this morning feeling like this man and say, well, I went to church, I was blessed with the singing of Elise, I was blessed with our singing, and now I feel good. Let me go and have my food and let me just enjoy my game or whatever. And there's nothing wrong in having a good time with your family. There's nothing wrong watching sports. There's nothing wrong in eating. But there is something wrong when we forget the giver and celebrate the food and the things that we receive. I hope and pray that God will help us find him to be the giver in our life and thank him for it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for helping each one of us. Lord, every one of us here present has needs. We all have our needs. Some are physical needs, others are emotional needs, others have spiritual needs. We all have concerns, Lord. We don't know where to go from here. We don't know how to deal with given situations. We don't know how to handle our situation. Please touch each one of us, and may your Holy Spirit help us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.